Good morning. I greet you all in Christ's holy name. I was assigned to Proverbs 29, 1 through 5. As Alan already explained, we've been going through the brotherhood, a few verses at a time, brothers share. So I'll go ahead and read this. So verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. We'll go ahead and have a prayer. Father in heaven, I come before you this beautiful morning, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we can gather and worship you in freedom. And pray, Lord, that you'd be with my mind and mouth, Lord, and that you'd help me to share the things you want me to share and not share the things you wouldn't want me to share, Lord. And pray that you'd be with the remainder of the service. Praise your name. Amen. Okay, and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It seems like in being often reproved, like he's been warned a number of times, say possibly sin or something he's doing. And he just hardens his neck. He might just starts warning. He just fling it off, not even consider it. It could be his possibly parents or friend, brother, or even a minister. And it says he shall be destroyed suddenly. I'm not sure exactly what it's saying about being destroyed, but without remedy. It could be, I don't know if it's meaning at judgment or as it says in 2 Chronicles 36, 11, 17. So go ahead and read. So it would be from 11 through 17 on 2 Chronicles 36. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, raising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, and slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young men or maidens, old men, or even him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And it's like it says in verse 16, it was without remedy. So I'm sure it could be either way, the end times or judgment or even beforehand. There's another verse out of Proverbs here that I thought went pretty well with this. It's Proverbs 13:8. It shall be the wrong one. Sorry. Thirteen eighteen. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. I'm going to go on to verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I'm also going to read Proverbs 28, 12, 15, and 28. Verse 12, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked arise, the man is hidden. And verse 15, as a roaring lion and as a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that hath that one. Okay, sorry, I was going to read 15 there. 28, when the wicked arise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. When I read these verses, I had to think of the early church fathers, or they went into hiding when there was a wicked ruler of the people. I also had to think of Esther, how when Haman ruled, how the people mourned, and when Mordecai ruled, they rejoiced. I'm going to go ahead and read some of that. So it would be Esther 3:11 through chapter 4:3. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, and the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the 12th month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenant, and the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language. The name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post unto all the king's province to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given to every province was published unto all people that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city Shushan was perplexed. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice and a bitter cry, and came before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Forgot how far I was supposed to go. Sackcloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So here's an example of where, say, and there was an evil ruler over the province or the kingdom, and how people mourned. And I'm going to go to Esther 8:9-17. Then were the king's scribes called at the time in which, in the third month, that is the month of Sivan, in the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and the rulers of the province which were from India and Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language. And the Jews according to their writing and according to the language. And he wrote in the king's name and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback and riders and mules and camels and young. Okay. Wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and the province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the province of the king Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. And the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given to every province was published unto all the people and unto the Jews, that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves of their enemies. So the posts that rode upon the mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed by the king's commandment, and the decree was given to Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. And the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came. The Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of Jews fell upon them. The people, they have a cause to rejoice and mourn according to the rulers or righteous according to the rulers are righteous or wicked. For if the righteous are in authority, sin will be punished, and religion is right being supported. But if the wicked abound, wickedness will abound, and religion and religious people will be persecuted. I'm going to go on to verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. I had to think, when I read this, my mind went to the prodigal son. I had to think of that one there. It's Luke 15, 11 to 32. I'm going to read it here. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he said, And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him in compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, I am no more worthy to be called his son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field as he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, thy brother is come, and thy father had killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered to his father, says, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time the commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. As you can see, he had wicked desires in his heart. He spent his time foolishly and wastefully, and so much that he spent all that he had. I also want to read Proverbs 23, 19 through 26. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among wine bibblers, among riotous eaters of the flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags. Hearken unto the father that begat thee, and desire not the mother. Despise not the mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begat a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee will rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. These are words of wisdom for us today. If we are wise, we will hearken to these words of warning and blessing. So we'll read Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. I'm going to go on to verse 4. The king by judgment establishes the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. As we know, that if a judge takes bribes, he cannot give just judgment. When people are under a good government, the people are happy. The job of the ruler is to keep the minds of the people at ease and maintain its laws and set in order the wrong. He must give wise judgment without respect to persons and with justice. He will have a good effect. If there is a bad government, the people will be miserable. He aims at nothing but getting money and will, for a good bribe, convive at the most guilty and hope of one persecute the innocent. Such governors as these will ruin a country. Now for a few verses, I have Micah 7, 1 through 4. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desireth the first ripe fruit. The man is perished out of the earth. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great men, he uttered his mischievous desires, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar, and most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be there for perplexity. Also when I read Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 20. Judges and officers shalt they make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not rest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift for a gift that blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. And that which is altogether shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Some words there God gave to the children of Israel about basically not taking bribes because of what I can do. So read 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 5. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside with lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah. And he said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge over us and all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, and when they said, Give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say, and unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, and I should not reign over them. Or according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they unto thee. Here be an example, which basically Samuel made his sons judges, and they took bribes and so forth, and it basically made the people miserable and say unhappy that in so much that they requested a king. So sort of an example there. In Acts 24:24 through 27, this is another example of someone that was looking for a bribe, we could say. So Acts 24. 24 through 27. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drissa, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ and his reason of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might lose him, whereof he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porticus Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left him bound. So like the wife just read, there's like examples of people either expecting bribes or gifts or hoping to get some. Proverbs 1, 2 through 3 is an example of would be, it says, let me just read it here. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. If a judge follows that, you have a good judge, a just judge. I'm going to go on to verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Those may be said to flatter their neighbors who applaud good in them, which really either is not or is no such, is not such as they represent it. They spread a net for their neighbor's feet, which has an ill effect on those who are flattered. It puffs them up with pride, and so proves a net that it proves a net that entangles them in sin. He that flatters others has something up his sleeve. Either he expects them to return the compliments and flatter to him, or he is trying to get him to like him, and by flattering he hopes that the one he is flattering will like him. Or he is trying to get some material gain from him. He who flatters will look ridiculous to the people he is trying to flatter and to others. So, in otherwise, he could be spreading a net for his own feet as well. I have a few verses here. Proverbs 28:23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Also Proverbs 26:24-28. He that hateth is dissembleth with his lips, and lieth with up deceit within him. But when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be shown before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Psalms 5:8-12. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. And let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Jeremiah 9:8. Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peacefully to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. As you can see, the word of the Lord didn't have much good to say about the flattering tongue. For example of flattering, turn to Luke 20:19-26. Here's sort of title a bit. It's where they're trying to spread a net for Jesus' feet here. I'm going to go ahead and read it here, starting in verse 19. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent for spies which should frame themselves just men, and they might take hold of his words, which they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they said unto him, saying, Master, We know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. And here's where they were flattering him. And then here's where they're like trying to catch him. So, is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? And they answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to God the things which are God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. As you can see, it's a good example. Okay, as you see, this is a good example of some people trying to spread a net for Jesus' feet. Jesus, being wise, could see right through their intentions and motives. That's all I have. Thank you for listening, and God bless.